Judge Robert Trent Acosta, Vice Chair of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee, Judge Lori Earle, a member of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Executive Committee, and Mr. Alan Carlson, Chair, Court Executives Advisory Committee, for Item E, the Judicial Branch Budget, the Impact of Budget Reductions, and the Governor's Proposed May Revision from the Perspective of the Trial Courts, not an action item.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the council. We're going to do this in two parts. I'm going to talk a little bit about the state perspective that we got earlier from the trial court view, and then each of us is going to talk a little bit about what's going on in our particular courts to kind of give some more reality to this. So I represent the people that write the checks and sign the contracts and send letters to people telling them they're laid off, fired, or are going to take furloughs. Because I'm in that position, I take quite a bit more hard-nosed, pragmatic, realistic view of what's going on with this budget process. So in my opinion right now, the trial courts are looking at a $752 million cut next year. The difference, the question I asked earlier, is that whereas they think we're going to go up 1.5%, I think we're going down $752 million. She gave me a chart that explains the difference, and basically she's assuming $402 million in reserve use and $314 million in backfill from other places. I don't. I don't think there's $402 million in reserves, and I don't know where they're going to get $314 million in backfill from other places. So the number of actual, the dollar of actual cut we're going to experience is somewhere between her plus 1.5% and my minus $752 million, which is a pretty big gap. As I say, I'm a pragmatist. I start with 752, and until I see something like an action by the legislature or an action by this council on money, I don't count it. And that's one of the reasons why Orange County's been able to survive as well as it has over the last several years, is because we don't use the money or plan for using the money until it's actually there. So in my opinion, we're down $752 million. That's not counting any increases I don't see in there. So if my retirement contributions go up next year because the actuarial people tell me it costs more, that's on top of the 752. If a court has contracts with union folks, and there aren't many left since the time has been so long now, where they had promised a certain increases, that's going to be on top of the 752. Even if you use $300 million in reserves, which was the original number, now it's 402, that still represents a pretty substantial, I think an 18% reduction in our funding over time. And if we have to make the reductions we're talking about, if you compare to what we had to reduce for this year, it's like 1.7 times as much reduction as we had to experience this year. Those are pretty massive changes in what's going on, and I think that's why there's a certain amount of, oh, my God, in the room, and particularly among me and my colleagues who have, as I say, to write the checks and explain to judges why we're closing down and you can't do this and we can't do that and that sort of thing. So shifting to what Orange County has done over time, I think that as you've heard before and maybe heard in other venues, we've really worked pretty hard to deal with operationalizing the cuts that we've had. We saw this coming in 2008. We started planning in 2008 to glide down to where we are now. We didn't think it would last this long, but we kind of use a three-year slide or horizon on doing things. As of July 1st, I will have reduced the number of staff in the court from 1,860 to 1,600. That's about a 15% reduction in staff. We have not done any furloughs except the one year when everybody did them. I only laid off five people in the first year. All the rest of our attrition has been done through VSIP programs, normal attrition. We look very seriously now. If somebody's not doing well on probation, we cut them. And we've looked seriously at performance and have a higher rate of releasing people after they're in there because that's what we need to do now. We've also done a number of measures internally. The business process reengineering BPR concept, we started it in January of 2009. We had 17 teams with over 100 people working on things. We have an hour-long video that talks about some of the major things that we did to cut down things. I'm not going to share all that with you. We have a phone book of individual things, items that we've done, ranging all the way from stopping producing printed copies of custody lists and sending it out electronically, all the way up to what we call a magic mail machine that processes traffic tickets. It's been a massive effort. We dropped 100 people. We don't need these people anymore just in the first year of the BPR efforts. We have now expanded that into our – we first began only in operations. Now we're looking at it in HR and our finance administration side of the court, and I expect to get several more staff reductions from that. We have taken advantage of technology at a massive scale. We are completely paperless in civil cases and family law cases and probate cases. No case files, no filing room. The filing room got turned into a room where the people review the e-filing stuff that comes in. That's small claims, limited civil, general civil, unlimited civil complex. Everybody's paperless, no files. We're working on is to finish that off in family law. We're pretty much there. There's some old cases that were never scanned that we still have to have paper once in a while. We're working on getting electronic versions of criminal and traffic cases. We're part of a project with two other courts to get CHP citations electronically. It's now running. I think we had 1,000 citations after the first 3 or 4 weeks, and it continues to ramp up as they get it out to more officers and then we take in more electronically. We're working with three of our local agencies to get their tickets electronically the same way, so again, no more paper. We've reduced the staff. We've reduced the management levels. We have fewer layers of management. We have fewer managers. One of the people I laid off was my chief deputy on day one. So we have cut that down and done a lot of things, and it's ongoing. Our collections are up. We're collecting more money than we used to be. Ironically, because of the changes we've made with technology, we are, in fact, providing more services than we were in 2008. You can now pay your traffic ticket over online. You can pay your traffic ticket using the telephone. You can schedule traffic hearings online or over the telephone now. We've done a lot of things like that. You cannot do that if you don't have the technology to support that. And there's a lot of courts in this state that didn't start where we started and couldn't make the kind of changes we made because they didn't have the technology and the capacity to do that. So I think that's important to remember. It also has taken us 4 years to get to this point. We couldn't do it between now and June 30th or even between now and next July 1st of 13. These things take time. Sometimes it takes money. You have to buy these things. You have to implement it. You have to train people. You have to figure out how to change your business practices. So we've done all these things, and we've been fairly quiet about it. A lot of people can't do what we do. We're not going to push this on anybody else. But the fact of the matter is we're down from 1,860 people to 1,600 people, and we've done all those other things. And yet this year we will spend $8.7 million out of our reserves. So already this year we're $8.7 million below what we need to operate, even as efficiently and with as much technology as we have in Orange County. Right now we're at that 700 and some million, cuts $44 million more I have to cut between now and the end of next year to get through next year. That's probably more than we've cut already, and we've already cut a lot of money out of our system. 13, 14, it's a cliff, because even the money that's in their chart, so they've got $402 million from the reserves and $314 million backfill, that's gone. So that's $716 million more dollars we have to cut next year in the trial courts. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it certainly can't happen in 1 year without ending up with just furloughs, closures, and services not being delivered. So that's the positive, upbeat message that I have from both a statewide perspective and from a court that's really worked hard to operationalize the funding and get to where we got. And I'm happy to answer questions. Maybe we'll let the other two courts do theirs, and then we'll have questions.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to start. Can you hear me? Start by addressing what I think is the fallacy that the trial courts have largely been held harmless from previous budget reductions. $606 million to the trial courts is hardly harmless. Perhaps we have not done a good enough job in educating those outside of the branch, and I welcome the opportunity to do so today and to share a little bit about what Sacramento has done, like so many of our other state trial courts, to adjust to the steady decrease in funding. Since 2008, our court's funding has decreased, resulting in 193 fewer employees. In response to that, we have made a number of changes to our operations in an effort to meet those reductions. We've eliminated the full-time use of temporary staff. staff that was needed to timely process the cases that are filed in our court. We've renegotiated contracts on things like copiers, paper, janitorial, and library services. We've eliminated a number of benefits of our unrepresented employees as well as their 6% COLA. Like Orange County, we've gone completely electronic in civil, traffic, and small claims. We've eliminated hard copies of our judges' library materials. We've instituted a hiring freeze. We've also extended a voluntary salary incentive program. We've restructured our organization to eliminate divisions, and we've also used technology to leverage staff resources. We've recently installed kiosks at our traffic court to allow folks to pay fines and fees through the kiosk, to check in for court, to view their red light video camera, and we have increased our online services to allow many of our users to do the same thing online as well. We in Sacramento have been proactive in addressing the budget reductions. As I said, as a result, we have 193 fewer employees today than we did in 2008. And by implementing the proposal offered by the governor on Monday, we would lose another 140. This would result in a 40% reduction in our staff since 2008. And we continue to receive the same amount of work, the same number of homicide, drug, and theft cases, the same number of guardianship and custody hearings, the same number of emergency protective and restraining orders. We have slowed down tremendously in our ability to process cases, and if the governor's May revise becomes our budget, we will stop doing some of these things altogether. In 2010, based on several years of ongoing permanent reductions to the branch and a belief that such reductions would continue for the next several years, we developed a 3-year budget plan to allow us to permanently reduce our expenditures and live within the resources of our times. This reduction would result in a dramatic decrease in our staffing abilities and force a total reorganization of our court. In 2008, we had 873 employees. Today, we have 680, and when we are done, we will have 540. Attempting to achieve this in 1 year while continuing to serve as a functioning court for our community would have been irresponsible and resulted in disastrous consequences upon the public. However, we had been fiscally prudent over the years and managed to set aside money in our reserve account for such purposes. We plan to spend those reserves over the next 3 years to responsibly make the reductions and changes to meet decreased funding. We are nearing the end of the first year of our budget plan. We have imposed layoffs, reduced expenditures, and held our hiring freeze, and we have spent reserves in doing so. Year two of our plan is to begin on July 1 of this year, and it calls for a reduction of $14 million from our budget. In pure staff costs, that's 140 employees. Realizing that we could ill afford to lose 140 employees at once, our plan calls for the additional use of reserve funds, as much as $8 million, to offset the layoffs until the final year of our plan. However, on Monday, we were advised that we would not have the reserve money to do so. Suddenly, the second and final years of our restructuring plan must be completed in 1 year or we will be fiscally penalized. I'm somewhat taken aback by Ms. Matasanto's comment today, and she said it more than once, and that is that this restructuring, the use of reserves, would allow courts to maintain operations. That will do anything but allow us to maintain operations. Before Monday, the path to our restructure included the reduction of the services that we currently provide. Now that path involves the cessation of those services. Some of the things that will be impacted here in Sacramento include our civil case management program. It currently ensures the timely litigation of civil cases. We can no longer afford to maintain that program. The council recently approved rules of court that require a case management program for family law cases. We will not implement those rules as we do not have the resources to do so. We will close our small claims department, and other courtrooms are at risk of closures as well. We will replace our front counter staff in our civil division with drop boxes. We will reduce our hours of operation at our public counters and public phones. We will backlog the processing of arrest warrants, state prison commitments, and new criminal cases. We will eliminate court reporters in civil cases. By necessity, we will virtually cease the processing of any case except criminal and dependency. Civil and family law cases will trickle through our system. The magnitude of the governor's proposal is so huge that I'm not sure we've truly digested it yet. One thing I do know is it will be impossible for us to accomplish this massive reduction in less than a year, let alone 45 days. We also cannot begin to act, in my opinion, until we fully understand where we are. We first need to step back and look at the global picture. Before we act, before we start talking about specific allocations, about layoffs and court closures, trial courts up and down the state will need to ask themselves, have we completely operationalized the $606 million reduction we've received in previous years? And the answer is no. We are doing that now. Sacramento is just one of many, many courts, trial courts, that have developed multi-year reserve-based plans to address previously imposed reductions. And I think the question of whether we've operationalized reflects that what we're really looking at here is a $653 million problem from previous years, plus a $544 million problem from this year. If we don't look at previous years and fool ourselves into believing that we've absorbed those, we will face ruin. Let me close just by stressing this. We cannot afford these cuts. Furthermore, we cannot absorb these reductions in 45 days. It is procedurally, if not physically, impossible. 2 weeks ago, we sent letters to 60 employees that their position had been identified for elimination in the next fiscal year. How many do we send now? We need time. We need at least a year or more to position ourselves to accomplish what I think is the governor's goal, to restructure ourselves to promote equal access to justice. But as was afforded by our state and local correction system, the trial courts also need a realignment plan, not just to impose statutory changes that would allow us to redirect some of the things that we do, but to give us the time to be able to accomplish the goals that the governor has set out for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Trentacosta?
I've been asked to address how the governor's May revise will affect the trial courts. And I want to begin with this overarching principle. You and the presiding judges have struggled to keep our courtroom doors open and to maintain a level of excellence in our judicial system by making it accessible, fair, and efficient. As our branch has endured 4 years of successive cuts, our presiding judges, perhaps now to their detriment, struggled to make sure that the public would not feel the full impact of our pain. We did that in a variety of ways. As PJs, we shared our best business practices. We helped one another implement those practices. We worked together as a team. We also used technology. In San Diego, as in Orange County and elsewhere, we have gone paperless in civil and probate matters. We were moving towards paperless in many other disciplines. And the question now remains is, can we get there? We have used the internet and internet technology to try and make our courts more user-friendly. Matters like scheduling and fine payments and providing information to a lay public so that they can understand the process. Those have been our goals. Those have been things that we have been able to accomplish despite a lack of resources. But as the May revise makes clear, and this is perhaps the most painful part of today and the coming days, we cannot now protect the public from the full brunt of these cuts. It's disheartening because the people in this room know. We have talked about numbers all morning, but numbers may be a way for other people to keep score. What we understand the numbers to be is the effect it will have on people. We have all seen the lines and the folks who have come in to try and do their business at the courts who have had to take a half day off in order to get through these lines. It doesn't mean our staff isn't working as hard as they possibly can. There's just a lot less of them. So what does this mean for our trial courts? We have seen the point of the spear already in many courts. It will continue. We are going to undergo in the next year and the years that follow a painful constriction. There will be closed courtrooms. There will be furloughs. There will be layoffs. And painfully for many of us in the trial courts, we have, through long experience, put in place innovative programs that work. There simply isn't going to be enough money to fund many of those programs, and we are going to be turning the clock back 10 or 15 years in terms of providing a quality justice system to the public. My fear, and the fear of many of my PJ colleagues, is this. We have worked hard, and we all take great pride in our justice system. It is sad to think that because of the lack of funding, our justice system may now be characterized in ways that are hurtful to us. Lay people may say, this is a system that has chronic and systemic delays and barriers to real people achieving the ends of justice. While it has been a difficult day for all of us, there is an unsettling question that keeps reverberating among the PJs. And to be honest, and I think we want to be honest, we should put it on the table. And that is this. If a lack of adequate funding continues, we will see a systematic dismantling of a justice system that has been a model in our country. That is the concern of our PJs.
Thank you.
One final comment. All the things that you've heard us say in these three courts, and I'm sure it's true in all the other courts, occurred because of the financing structure, the trial court funding structure we have here in California, including the being able to have reserves. What we have done could not have been accomplished absent that structure. I don't understand, and I'll be happy to talk, or the branch can talk with the governor's office about how you would have a working group reassess how we're defined after you make such a fundamental change in our structure as is proposed in the governor's budget to take away what's allowed us to do what we've done so far. Let's leave it alone and talk about it. But I don't understand why we would change the whole thing fundamentally and then put together a working group to go forward.
Thank you. Points well made, and that will reverberate with all of us as we find our way through this and challenge and fight against this cut. Thank you. Any questions? Appreciate it.